And now, a quick word from our first sponsor. FearlessCon.com. You were born to be fearless. FearlessCon is an annual conference held in Philadelphia for ambitious women who get shit done. From creative entrepreneurs to corporate nine-to-fivers, FearlessCon provides an inclusive space for multicultural and multi-passionate women to come together to connect, build, and support one another through strategic workshops, empowering panel discussions, and chill networking time. They are currently working on finalizing their speakers and their schedule for 2019, so stay tuned as they update their website and social media to reflect this year's conference. To find them online, go to fearlesscon.com or fearlesscon at Instagram. Hello and happy Father's Day to all of my Immutable Mutineers listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This episode is really close to my heart. I have invited my good friend, Payal Patel. She is an international makeup artist. She is a Reiki practitioner. She is a life coach. She is a mental health advocate. She is a dating life connoisseur with a dating podcast. And she is also a member of a new club that I have recently joined. Namely the Survivors Without Papas Club. Payal has lost her father, or had lost her father roughly almost 10 years ago. And we came together in this episode to discuss, a lot of what we've learned for me in a very short time, and for Payal, what she's been able to kind of bring together out of this whole experience and this whole journey she's taken since then for herself, and was so gracious to share it with me in a time where I really needed to hear it. And I just hope that it is something that you can take in, whether you've lost someone you love or not, and, you know, maybe change your perceptions a little bit about how we exist, why we exist, where we exist, what we're doing here, and, you know, maybe ultimately just to be a little kinder to ourselves and to each other. So thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoy. And I will leave all of Payal's social media and all the places where you can reach her in the episode notes and on the post. So again, happy Father's Day, everyone. Thank you for listening and tuning in. And enjoy this episode of Immutable Mutineers with Payal Patel. So I want to talk about your Reiki.
Oh.
So what do you feel like when you do Reiki? You were talking about it before I started recording, then I made you stop.
No, when I do Reiki, I feel like I sense like spirit energy. So that's why I want to, that's why I want to talk to a medium, because I want to know what that's about and dig deeper into that.
Does that feel like what your dad feels like to you when you feel your dad?
Yes, like 100%.
That's what I'm searching for currently.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that that's where you found that. Because that's, I know that I got to find something that'll do that for me. I thought meditation might be that. So I've been like trying to like get deeper into meditation. Because at least.
Yeah.
Now I know what the source is.
Yeah. So like, I mean, I can totally give you a Reiki session. And like we can feel that out.
Yes.
But the first time I had a dream about my dad was like, it might have been like a couple weeks after, like they just kind of come to you, and it was a couple weeks after, and it was crazy because like every single like dream that I had about him was, it built out like a story that just made sense. And so the first dream I had about him was he walks in the house, and this was after like he passed away, his funeral happened, everything, and he walks in the house, and these dreams are so clear. I remember every detail. I remember what everybody looked like. Normally, like, dreams for me are kind of like, you know.
You're like fuzzy.
They're fuzzy. And I remember him walking in the house, and my mom's in the kitchen, and my sister's sitting with me in the living room. My brother's just kind of like playing off to the side. And I see him, and I'm like, Dad? And he just looks at me, and he was like going into the bathroom, and he comes out, and I was like, wait a minute, why is Dad here? Like, I was like, I thought he died. And my sister was like, I can't see him. Where is he? So he comes into the kitchen. We had like, we have an extension on our house. My dad and I go into the extension, and like, I looked at him in the eye and I was crying my eyes out. And he looks at me in the eyes and he's crying. And like, you just don't know. I didn't hear what he was saying, but based off his body language, he's like, I'm so sorry for leaving. And my mom was like, get out of the house, like leave. Like, you're bothering the kids, you're disturbing them. But that was just kind of like their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember seeing him and being like, what is happening, you know? And then I woke up and I was in tears because I was like, I think I actually felt him. And I didn't know at the time that I had this like ability to connect with him in this weird way.
Mm-hmm.
But then because it happened like on several occasions, it just felt so real. Like, it just felt like that was him. Like, who else would it be? You know, what was that about? Like, why is my energy shifting because I had this dream or this thought or I felt this when I woke up?
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Ugh, it's so nuts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how in depth you care to get about like when it happened for your dad and like what you felt, but did you have a physical reaction to when it happened?
No, not initially. And it was crazy because I look back at it now and I'm like, I think I didn't know myself enough at the time.
Yeah.
To be able to connect with that depth of emotion.
To trust it.
Yeah. To be like, wait a minute, I'm depressed or I'm anxious or I'm, you know, not feeling good, you know. That was the first time in my life where I had to understand my emotional reactions to, and my physical reactions, like the difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it wasn't initially, and I thought I was being like, you know, strong by not crying and not like, and just like holding it together.
Yeah.
I remember being at the funeral, like the day of the funeral, and I was like, I'm not gonna cry. But I was like, I'm not gonna cry because I want to stay strong for him and family and whatever. And I did not cry at his funeral.
Damn.
But
you're strong.
I don't know where the strength came from that day, to be honest, but it backfired on me years later because I was so young that I didn't know and understand like how to respond to these things and
grief.
Yeah, did not know how to respond. And I remember when I had turned 24, I hit a really low point in my life. Like, I was, like, drinking a lot. I was partying a lot. I was dating the wrong people, like, whatever. And I remember, like, reaching that point, and someone, my ex at the time, told me I had daddy issues. And I didn't really understand that either. And I just remember being like, oh, my God, like, why am I feeling anxious? Why am I feeling, like, what is this feeling in my chest? So when I went to therapy, I went to a holistic therapist who really taught me the mind and body connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that like was the most mind-blowing thing ever because that's when I reacted physically and that's when I started, like, it was literally an explosion inside my brain of like, okay, here's how you deal with this now, or here's the start of what you're going to deal with for the next couple years until you figure yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
But no physical reaction at first.
Damn.
I mean, I'll cry to myself sometimes, but then like I would think like, wait, why am I crying? Like, he's in my heart, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's no, you know what I mean? But I didn't even know, like, I think I look back at that now and I'm like, that was just a very naive thing to say, just
yeah.
because I was just telling myself that because I needed to,
something you need to hear,
right?
Yeah. I think when it happened, like in the moment, like the last 5 minutes, I guess, like of his life, we were all around his bed and I was like, I had my hand holding one of his hands and then my other hand was holding his heart because I was just trying to figure out like when his heart was going to stop because his breath was getting really slow.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom and my sister were on either side of me and my mom was like right by his face, like talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And in like maybe 2 to 3 breaths, which were maybe about 2 minutes total, I felt an overwhelming like sensation of like warmth and like cohesion that came over my whole body.
Whoa.
That gave me instantaneous peace. I didn't have anxiety anymore. I wasn't upset. I could feel that I needed to put like all of my calm and peace outward because I needed to put that into him so he could let go. The last like 3 days of his life, he wasn't really conscious and just kept saying like, help me, like, help me, let me out. And then he would say, like, I would say, like, open the door, you can go, like, it's okay to go. Mm-hmm. And then he would say, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave you. I'm not ready. Mm-hmm. He fought so hard for like 3 days. Mm-hmm. And then when I realized like, oh shit, like I'm directly tapping into the source of wherever you're about to go. Mm-hmm. And I feel that it is good.
Yeah.
And I needed to like help him to calm down to feel that. And then he just slipped away, took his last breath. Mm-hmm. I felt his heart stop and that feeling stayed with me for about 2 days. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt myself buzzing. It was so strange. And I'm not a religious person by any means. Mm-hmm. Spiritual to the T, but I never could really, like, put a name to it or, like, a structure around it that gave me some capacity to even, like, try to understand it enough to believe it. Even though that idea now seems so silly because I know how big it is and what it is just love. Like, love that can be 20,000 definitions of how you use it and show it. Mm-hmm. But it gave me such peace, and I have not felt one pang of anger or sadness for his being gone because he's not suffering anymore. And he went to that.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, everyone deserves.
Yeah. And I think, like, just hearing you say this, just I just had a thought, like, him saying, like, I don't want to leave, right? Like, that's such a human response, right? Because of the attachment.
Yes.
When he probably got to the other side and it was like, hey, this wasn't too bad because I'm still here.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what you felt. And maybe that was what it was like, your reaction being like,
yeah,
oh my God, I feel like nothing but love.
True.
Because that's probably what he's feeling.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, not the pain that's associated with, like, not being here, because there's reassurance that, like, hey, wait, just because I'm not physically here doesn't mean that I'm not spiritually here.
Yeah. I feel him every day, all day. And not even, like, in a creepy, ghosty way.
No.
It is in the same way that, like, I now know I am connected to the trees and I'm connected to the air and water and animals and other people.
Oh, God.
In ways that are all exactly the same.
I had some of the most spiritual awakenings after he passed. And, like, I, like, just like how you said, when you feel him every day, till this day, if I for 1 second think about what it's like to give him a hug, I can still feel it. Mm-hmm. And this was 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. I still know exactly what it's like to hug him, to feel his bone structure when I hug him, and like his smell, everything. Like, I remember it all. Mm-hmm. And that's like, those are like the little gifts that I get to keep forever. You know what I mean? Like, just because his physical presence isn't here doesn't mean that I'm not allowed to have those memories and hold on to them, you know? And that was like, I mean, like, spiritual awakening after spiritual awakening after spiritual awakening, right? Like, just so, like, the bigger, like, life hit me at that point. Like, I remember when he passed away, I remember saying to myself, why am I fighting with my friends? Why am I holding on to, like, wanting, you know, these material items? Like, I have no attachment to it because it's all just gonna come and go. And that's when I think I took a step out of my body and was like, learned to look at life from kind of like just like stepping out of the whole thing and just being like, wait, where is everything and where does everything stand? And what I could do to fix areas versus being like, I need this and I want that and like I'm attached to this and like my boyfriend and I are fighting. It's like, it really doesn't matter.
Nothing matters.
And it almost was like, I didn't have anger about it. I was almost at peace and like more of an understanding of how the world works. And I was like, wow, I just need to be here just to get through what it is that I'm supposed to do here in this soul body that I have, you know? Yeah. And that was when it hit me. I was like, whoa, I don't need, like, people are just going to come and go. It doesn't really matter, you know?
And didn't it feel like the beginning of your destiny, even though you didn't know where you were going to end up? Like, didn't it feel like you were finally on the right track?
In the weirdest way? I've never in my life ever felt like I, like the depths of my brain just went deeper. And I was like, wait a minute, this exists? Like, never in my life have I ever been thankful for an experience like this, because his loss taught me so much about myself and just the universe. And I was like, wow, never ever did I feel like I ever actually lost him either. Mm-hmm. Because whether if spirituality and souls actually exist outside of the physical world, whatever it is, something felt, I still felt a connection to something.
And like mentally too, right?
Mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, everything.
It feels like he's like on vacation somewhere.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh my God. Absolutely.
Or like I moved across country.
Yep. That's exactly what it felt like. The same way
that like I would feel on a work trip, like, well, you're really far away from me, but like I feel exactly the same way as when I'm right next to you.
The same way.
And then when I literally maybe like 10 minutes after like they took him away and like we like had a moment to like sit there by ourselves for a second, I had that thought. And then I was just like, I made everyone get up, put on their shoes, and we went for like a walk on the beach for like an hour. I was like, let's just go be outside in nature. Like, we should not sit in the house. Like, we need to be out and like feel him, because we all felt him outside everywhere. And then it was so reassuring to definitely me. I can't speak for my mom and my sister, but they felt at peace because we both, we all like instantly realized that he is everywhere and nowhere all at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's literally crazy. Like, the minute this person pops up in your head is when you feel like they're there.
Yes. And like some mystic shit.
And then you just go back to doing what you do in the present day.
Yeah.
And so my dad actually had a really interesting situation. So he actually went into a coma and never came out of it. He was in a coma for 6 months. So, basically he had a tumor in his throat because he had a chewing tobacco addiction. And that turned into a tumor in his mouth. And then he, got it removed, and then about, 10 years later, I can't remember, I was so young, I think, 10 years later, the mass came back in his throat, so he, went through chemo, he was on a feeding tube for, I don't even know how long, 7-8 years, maybe, and then he, his tumor came back in his throat, and it was basically getting larger and larger and larger to the point where it was cutting off his circulation. So I wasn't home that day. My sister and my brother rushed into the hospital. My sister was like, if you don't go to the hospital, you are going to die. And that's what I think freaked him out. And so he gets to the hospital and immediately collapses. And again, I wasn't there for it, but he immediately collapses. And then they tried to open up his airway. He collapses and he stops breathing and then his heart stopped. Oh, so they're trying to bring him back while they're trying to open up his airway. And at that point, no oxygen going to his brain. So he was brain dead at that point. Damn. So when I first saw him, he looked normal. He just looked like he was sleeping, right? And I can't remember how old I was. I think I was 20. And he had gone into coma for exactly 6 months. So he was in hospice for God knows how long. I don't even remember. But I just remember I think that's when it hit me, when the doctor had said, I know he looks okay, but he's probably this is just what his state is going to be. He's just going to be in a very vegetative state. And I just remember this tightness in my chest. And my mom just looked at us like, I'm so sorry. I don't know. I didn't know how to tell you. So the doctor had to tell you, right? My sister immediately lost her shit. And my brother was so young. I just remember digging my head into my knees and just not being able to breathe.
Yeah.
And whoa, I haven't thought about this moment in so long. I just remember my chest tightened up and I was like, I can't breathe. It's almost like somebody took him and took my breath with it. And I was like, whoa.
Empty.
Life just it was life just hits you all at once, right in that moment. And I wasn't, when I think about him now, I don't think about him being upset, or I don't think about myself being upset at the fact that he's gone, because I know he's in a better place. Mm-hmm. In that very moment, it was he's probably in so much pain.
Yeah.
Because they stuck a tube down his throat to open up his airway, you know? But it's crazy to think about, like, years later, right? Like, it's been, what, 9 years, and, like, I see myself still having an emotional reaction to it, right? Mm-hmm. Even though I've connected with him spiritually on so many levels. Like, I've talked to him. I talk to him all the time. Like, every single day, like...
Well, it's empathy, and you have a lot more experience now to be able to connect on even a deeper level. I think you'll always continue to feel it probably deeper because you're going to grow to be able to appreciate it more.
Oh, my God, absolutely. It was the biggest life lesson ever. Death is the biggest lesson in life,
and
I will say that.
Almost a blessing, right? Like, I feel
it is the most
wonderful
thing.
Thinking of it,
like,
as a blessing, but it feels that way to
me. And it is a blessing because it just shakes you and it awakens you. It just is like, listen, we're taking off this superficial layer around you, and we're shedding it off now because now you have to understand this is what life actually is.
I feel like it's the same as it is for birth.
Yes.
And it's almost like you need to, like, have that threshold to, like, cross with birth and becoming a parent, and in losing a parent, the change is instant. Like, not even a minute of him having left the, like, house, I was already, like, motivated to change my life. And it felt greedy slash weird to be thinking of it at that time, but I almost, in a way, my dad was given 30 days to live 20 years ago. So basically 20 years ago I died, like, right along with him, because we thought we had 30 days, and I lived, like, on bated breath for 20 years. As did my mom, as did my sister. And I am so thankful to have had that time to have, like, dedicated to his life. And it ended beautifully with, like, me soothing him to his last breaths and transitioning. And it is the greatest gift I have ever been given, besides my life from, like, my mom. But it opened my eyes in a way that you cannot buy. Mm-hmm. You cannot learn. You have to be given it with someone's life. And it made 92% of my life not matter anymore. To the point of where my focus is so sharp and so directed at the 8% that it needed to be on my entire life. But I just couldn't be in a position to really come and step into my full self. Because I needed to be there and care for him. And it made me who I am. Like, everything now feels... I feel like there are no mistakes in life. There's not a single thing that happens that isn't supposed to happen. And I feel so blessed to, like, believe that in my soul. Like, I believe it. And it makes life feel so much easier now.
100%. It's like... when I think about his life, I think about, like, my dad was raised in a village, right? And he came to this country, and, like, my mom and dad ran off and got married, right? And, like everything that I saw in their relationship, or, like, just from what I remember, like, how everything played out from, like, the marriage to, like, the, like, them not getting along to, like, his health and, like, my mom work, you know what I mean? Like, I just, at one point when I didn't understand the depths of the world, I... was like, oh my God, like, this is awful, they're fighting, and, like, this is not good. But then when I really had, like, an awakening and understanding of how, like, deep the world can be, I was like, wait a minute, that was his life path. Like, that those were his karmic duties that he had to pay for. Those are things that his soul was intended on going through.
100%.
And even with my mom, like, I had a really hard time, you know, swallowing the fact that, like, she had to work so hard, and, like, she had to put her kids through school while putting herself through school while dealing with a sick husband, like, all of that. I'm like, I was holding all this weight inside of me, being like, I want to help her, I want to take this weight off of her, I want to do what I can, like, even from an emotional standpoint, like, just try to be there for her. Or at least I wish I could have rewinded time and said, I wish I could have been there for her through X, Y, and Z. But I'm like, that was her life story. Like, this is what was supposed to happen.
Her journey.
I'm blessed to... Hold on, I gotta sneeze. To release omens. Okay, come on. Okay, never mind. Guess we're staying with it. I just remember feeling like I was putting all this pressure on myself to make sure that I was there for her because mm-hmm. I felt like I didn't do it before enough. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's okay. Like, I finally come to a place where I'm like, everything she's been through was meant for her in this life so she could elevate more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly think that, like, the more pain that we suffer from lifetime to lifetime is, like, it only awakens us so much more. It's like this, like, it's like this, like, jacket just comes off, this layer comes off, and you're like, oh my God, wow, I'm getting mm-hmm. sharper, I'm getting closer, I'm getting smarter, I'm getting wiser.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so beautiful.
The exact same feeling and situation was...
Wait, I guess he's... Hold on, it's coming.
Get it out. Cute. Oh, that was a cute sneeze.
Omens, omens, omens.
when he... The last week of his life was tumultuous as fuck. He basically mm-hmm. moaned and cried in bed. His arm blew up to be larger than the size of my thigh. Like, he was so strong that he could not and would not leave without any, like, anything left on his plate. So mm-hmm. he truly did fight until his heart gave out, like, mm-hmm. went for it. But that last week, I watched the most brutal assault to a soul I have ever seen, and I felt an energy from another place trying to take him away, and it, all I could feel was his soul resisting because I felt that it wanted to get more done. And mm. in the suffering that he physically laid on the bed, I watched him go through chunks of things that were blocking him from his exit. Like, no joke. I physically felt it and saw it. It changed my life in a way to where it made me realize what karma is.
Mm-hmm.
Karma is not what you get when you spill coffee after you pick it up because you were a bitch to someone and you cut them off in the car that morning.
Mm-hmm.
Karma is when you are 98 pounds in your bed. You should have died 2 months ago, and you can't let go because your soul is holding on to the fact that it needs for you to suffer more
mm-hmm.
to realize what you're meant for.
Mm.
And I witnessed it 7 times. He progressed distinctly 7 different times. And the very last thing was his last breath and letting go. But it showed me what destiny is.
He's a fighter.
He's such a fighter. And I didn't realize that in being 12 and being told your dad's going to die in 30 days,
mm.
it made me a fighter. I didn't know what grief was when I was 12. I just went to school the next day. Mm. And I did it until a year ago when I went to a therapist and realized that, oh, fuck, I've been depressed and in grief for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to know that that gave me the moment he died, a minute later, drive to start working on myself, I knew that that was my destiny. My destiny was to be his partner in those 20 years and be a part of the family unit that kept him alive. Like, yeah. He fought to live 20 extra years. He had crazy tumors. He should have died.
Yeah.
Like, and to be able to be built strong alongside him while not knowing that that's what I was doing gave me the ability now, 2 weeks after he's gone, to be already leaps and bounds ahead of where I've ever been in my life.
It's like he gave you... He's
my
like, here.
Greatest gift.
He's like, here, take my energy.
My greatest gift.
And just go ham.
I will never forsake it. I will never take it mm-mm. for granted because he fought and suffered brutally for 20 years more than
yeah.
he should have. And
yeah.
that... was my penance, his penance that he paid for my life. And
yeah.
for me to, for 1 second, take it for granted or to try and live it in vain by being sad
mm-hmm.
would be a travesty to, like, to
yeah.
disrespect him in that way, I will
right.
never do. And
right.
I think that that was the ultimate kick in the fucking nuts that I needed to get my shit together and get
yeah.
my life together. And,
yeah.
like... all within that same time, the universe has been throwing me everything that I've been avoiding dealing with for the last 10 years of my adult life.
Yeah.
And I have things to do. Like,
yeah.
it's just...
But
you
have
you don't
a new,
know
like,
until you know.
Right.
When you know, I feel like I need to tell everyone, but they won't know until they know.
No, no. Everybody goes through their own life journeys in their own ways. I mean, to say... To honestly say, like, that I'm fortunate enough to have experienced it at 21
yes.
is, like, it sounds crazy, right? You're like, I'm so thankful that my dad passed away when I was 21 because I have absorbed so much. I've learned my emotions on such a deeper level and like understood and learned his emotions and what he went through. And it's just, it's taking me to places that like I don't even know if I would have ever even reached those places in this lifetime had my father not passed away. Like it would have had to been like suffering pain through other things in like future lifetimes. Like I don't even think that like
it would have taken you a lot longer.
A hell of a lot longer.
And probably added another lifetime.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it just, it shifted my whole world, right? Like my whole, and even till this day, like now that I'm getting quote unquote older and like my family's putting all this pressure on me to get married, it's like, I think of a man figure and I'm like, I don't like, I'm like, it just, it's like now I relate that back to my father, right?
Mm-hmm.
And before I had this like fear going into relationships, and which I still kind of do for other reasons, but like fear going into relationships because I'm like, you're just gonna die one day, so what's the point in getting close?
Ooh, girl, I feel that so hard right now.
I'm saying though, like, but the thing is that now that I've tapped into spirituality, it's like if our souls are meant to be connected, then our souls are meant to be connected, and like whether it's gonna be in this life or like after we both die, or if you die first or I die first, you know what I mean? Like, it's just my brain now goes to what's our soul connection?
Yes.
Versus like being fearful of like
losing, I used to feel that way.
But I know that there's going to be pain associated with it because I think about my mom. Like, my mom is like my heart, right? I, for the last 9 years, I've had this fear of losing her. Like, it just, it ate me alive for 9 years. I'm like, until I finally realized that like my mom and I are so spiritually connected in this lifetime that it's only going to strengthen throughout years and years and years, right? And so I just was like so fearful of losing her, and then when I let go of a lot of that stuff is when it became so much easier to accept that like we're our souls are connected, so it doesn't really depart, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just, oh man, death is fucking wild.
It's crazy. And in the same way that I feel like, in the weirdest way possible, I know now that all that there is love, because the feeling that I feel for like my partner Fernando is identical in nature to the feeling of whatever the source is that I tapped into in my father's last moments. Like the warmth, the safeness, the like endlessness of it, like it was it's identical.
And it's funny that you say that, because every single person that I've dated in the last like 5-6 years, I'm like, you're not like my dad though. Like, you're not as cool as my dad.
Yeah,
like my dad was a fucking G. Like, he was a singer, and like he was a lead singer of his band, and he's like a photographer and a painter, and like just knows music, you know. And I'm like, if you're not as cool as my dad, like, I'm not gonna like
feel you. I feel you on that. That's real.
It's crazy though. Like, it's so much like subconscious comparisons, right?
Yeah. But
you know, I just,
but he set the bar high.
Yeah, he did.
And it made you who you are. So like, you can't lower the bar.
No,
you're not meant for
that. But also at the same time,
add a lifetime. Like, that's how I feel now.
Yeah,
mistakes add lifetimes.
Yo,
if you don't want to learn from them, you're adding a lifetime.
The level of like the way I perceive things now is just insane. It's not
finite,
just,
right? Like,
it's crazy. It's like my brain goes into like That's So Raven mode, and I'm like, I have this thought, and I'm like, joop back, and I'm like, all right, what the fuck was that?
Yeah,
that was dope.
Yes. Yes.
But like, that's what death taught me, and like, it's cool that we can sit here now and like laugh and be like, this is what the world is, you know, like this is how the universe operates. Like, it's just, it is what it is, you know. And like, yeah, like we're human, we're gonna miss people that we love and, you know, that we felt here in the physical realm, but like there's another realm that we are allowed to tap into. Like, it's there for a reason, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, whether spirit comes to you or you go to spirit, it's like, it's still a it's still a interaction of some sort, you know what I mean? And it
feels like grace.
Yeah.
And I've been trying hard to just, like, when I miss him, I tap more into, like, trying to focus on grace and gratitude.
Yeah.
And it's been coming pretty naturally, which to me feels like a win in itself, because I always had such anxiety before granted, I was always waiting for my dad to die, like legit for my whole life. So mm-hmm. that feeling is now not there, and I feel really free.
Yeah.
But in the freedom, it's just given me the ability to slow down and just literally, mm-hmm. like, try to feel things.
Oh, my God. And the thing is, like, when you say that you're trying to feel things, like, you're already doing it subconsciously because you're already telling yourself, I'm going to try to do this. Well, guess what? You're already doing it. So, like, it's, like, that's just, that's dope. That's amazing.
It's what, it's, like, the only thing that when I start to feel, like, out of control, I'll feel feels. Like, I laid down the other night and cried on the couch for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah.
Fernando went to the gym so I could watch The Voice and just, like, sob because yeah. I just felt sad.
Feed your emotions, girl. Feed them. Like pay attention to them and, like, nurture your emotions. Like, that's, like, the if I could give advice on to anybody out there who has lost a parent, like, listen to your body because that's your intuition that's telling you something. When somebody says listen to your body because you're not used to hearing,
yeah.
let me listen to my intuition.
Yeah.
You're literally listening to the signals that are coming in now.
Yeah.
Like, you're having anxiety. You're feeling depression.
Yes.
You want to cry. Nurture every single emotion because you're... like, your understanding will become sharper, your perception will become sharper because you're just so aware of, like, the bodily emotions that are happening.
Yeah.
And, like, that's when you start to reach other levels, like, other vibrational levels. And, like, when my dad passed away, like, I didn't know how to, you know, tune into my body or my mind. Like, it was so hard because I was like, wait a minute, like, those are two different things. Like, you know, I should pay
mm-hmm.
attention to separate things now. And it was just, mentally, it was just, like, kind of, it was a mind fuck, but... nurture those emotions, like, those are what's gonna build you and, like, give you the strength and, like, just to, like, get through each day.
Yeah, I think before he passed, I wouldn't allow myself to feel those feelings and, like, observe them because I thought that I would just break down and, like, not be able to keep it together. And
yeah.
I have always been the one to, like, keep it together, so I knew that I had a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
At least for, like, my mom and my sister in those last days.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't fall apart. But once the thing that I didn't expect to happen that is basically what needs to happen or feels like what needs to happen, I gave in to the emotions and was fine with them, and they were short and sweet. 3 hours was, like, the max so far.
Yeah, yeah.
And in doing that, I just stopped negative talking myself, and I was just like, you know what? You deserve this. You should lay down and cry right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been kind to myself
mm-hmm.
in my head like that in a way where it didn't incite guilt or make me feel like you're being lazy,
mm-hmm.
you're being procrastinate. Like, when in reality, anxiety is the stepsister of grief. And, like, if you, just because you're not sobbing in bed doesn't mean that your anxiety isn't a direct counterpart of your grief and what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
You're just being overproductive
mm-hmm.
instead of, like, slowing down a bit and allowing your body to absorb it.
Well, what you're also doing is, right, like, you're listening to your body and you're giving it the time to heal.
Yeah.
Like, you are, like, I think of, like, my body and my spiritual space slash mind, like, as two different things. So it's, like, you have to nurture one in order for it to be, you have to, both sides have to be nurtured and taken care of, right? And
yeah.
So, like, when I thought of, like...
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry to be so bad.
No, it's okay, it's okay. You're, like... you're, like, shaking in your chair. Should I pause this?
Oh, it's okay. Well, yeah, you can stop it.
Okay. I was saying that, so I always tell people, I'm like, if this is something that feels natural to you, just do it. And it's just talking to your loved one, like, out loud. Because I really honestly have done it so many times and I've snapped out of it and I was like, wait a minute, like, what just happened? And you just kind of go into this zone of, like, as if the person's actually there, but you feel them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like, I mean, I've had friends who've, like, had parents pass away, friends pass away, and I'm like, just talk to them.
Yeah.
Because they can hear you.
The greatest, like, gift that he could give to my mom, one of the last things that he said, like, the last 11 hours of his life, he wasn't, like, conscious anymore. But one of the last things he said to my mom was, he said, I'm getting on a rocket ship. I'm going to the other side of the moon. And then,
oh,
like,
I love that.
Literally that night that he died, like, it was almost a full moon, like, 2 days before the full moon. And I took my mom to go get ice cream, like, his favorite snack. It became all of our favorite snacks. He was obsessed with ice cream, so we went all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we got out of the car, and she looked up, and she was just like, hi, dear, like, looking at the moon. So my mom talks to the moon every night to, like...
Oh, I love that.
Talk, right.
I love it,
too. And I love that he gave her that, because it's helped her a lot.
Yeah.
And I always felt like... like, we loved the sunset together. Like, mm-hmm. we'd always sit on, like, the porch and, like, it faces the bay where the sun sets. And we'd smoke a joint and, like, wait until the sky, like, finished all the crazy colors and we'd go back in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I made it a point to, like, see the sunset the day that he died. He died at 2:15. Or, no, sorry, 2:02.
Mm-hmm.
And I made sure to, like, see the sunset and, like, I'll remember it forever, what it looks like. But I felt him there instantly. And then that's when I was like, oh, fuck, you're all around me. Like,
oh, my God. That was, like,
everywhere.
The one thing I felt. Like, I was like, it doesn't feel like you're gone. It feels like you're literally always with me. Like, I never, like...
But to the point where your brain feels boggled, like you're looking at a language you can't read, right?
Yes.
To where you just don't... There's nothing registering there to where you can find it to know what's happening.
And, like, I was... For a little bit, I was upset because I had this one voicemail from him, which I lost after a very short time period. And it was just, like, him just being like, hey, like, it's me, just call me back. And I was so upset about that. But, like, when I came to the realization that he's always around me, like, I could almost hear him talking to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that just... there was no point in being upset about this voicemail because, like, I can literally hear his voice, like, if I really wanted to think about it, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, it just never, ever felt like he left. And there were actually, like, moments, like, from a physical standpoint where I would, like, get the chills or I would just burst out into tears or, like, just...
From, like, feeling overwhelmed?
Feeling, like, a warmth in my body, just being like, he's here. Like, he's here somewhere. Like, I can literally feel his energy.
The source. Yeah.
And, like... in my brother's room, there was a painting, not a painting of him, but there was a picture of his face. Like, we just, it was, like, a really close-up, and it fell. And it was, like, I was, like, see, like, he's just, and there was also a painting of his that I hung up in my apartment in Philly. My boyfriend at the time, he had gotten it framed for me, like, as a gift. And so we put it on the wall, and it didn't last for more than a month. It fell, the thing cracked. And I felt like it was just, like, him validating, like,
the dude ain't shit.
Yeah, like, the dude ain't shit. Like, he, don't tell him to touch my shit, yo. He wasn't shit, but anyway. No, like, it just was, like, validation that, like, he's around. Oh, and, like, a couple other freaky things actually happened. Like, I had his CD, so he was a really big Kishore Kumar fan, which is, like, old school Bollywood, like really old school music. And he was a singer, and, like, my dad, like, he had this CD that was in my car, and, like, it would play as soon as I, like, hopped in my car. But, like, one day I just decided to just play it because I hadn't listened to it in a while, and it all of a sudden just turned off. And I was like, that's never happened in my car, like, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, no, I want to play it. I want to listen to it. And I kind of, like, as if he was sitting next to me, I said, no, I'm going to fucking listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, 30 seconds into the song, it stopped again. And I was like, all right, like, I'm just gonna go. Like, I'm going to get out of the car now. So if you're here, like, cool. Like, you won. But it was a weird, interesting way to connect. But I also had a neighbor who was a medium who, like, shared a few wonderful things with me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Yeah, like, just, like, over the course of 9 years, it's just, like, he's just popped up, you know? And, like, even during the reading, like, that my neighbor had, she was getting, like, a psychic reading done, and the woman happened to also, I guess, connect with spirit. And she was like, the letter J keeps popping up. Like, what? Like, someone by the name of J. And she's like, my neighbor's name is Jagdish. Like, he passed away years ago. And he's like, and he keeps saying the letter P. And he, like, she was telling him this. She's like, he keeps saying the letter P, and, like, he just, like, someone's name is, like, P, and he's like, well, she has a daughter, her name's Pyle, and he's like, he wants to tell her that he loves her. And that's when I was like, yo, this motherfucker has been around. Like, he never left. Like, he straight up, like, just has been with me. And I just needed that physical confirmation from someone random through words to tell me that, like, he's always around, you know? And, like, I remember getting that call from my mom that night. She was telling me, like, that my neighbor had told her about her reading. And I like burst out in tears and I had chills. I was like, whoa, like that was real. You know what I mean?
Damn.
And I was like, I could talk to him all the time, you know?
I think that it is in my interest to figure out how to tap into the source.
He'll come to you when he comes to you though. Like, it'll happen and you might not even know. Like, you might not even, it'll happen when you least expect it to happen.
Yeah.
I think, and it'll be even better because you're gonna be like, whoa, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, okay, so when you saw your dad in your dreams, does it make you feel strange about your other dreams? Like, they are also important and have meaning?
Yes.
Ooh. Do you think, okay, this is where I get really scared because dreams already to me felt way too real before. And I think that once I do see my dad in my dreams and have that experience, I'm never gonna be able to be the same again, because like, how do you not analyze the shit out of every dream you ever have now, because it felt so real, right?
Yeah.
And you've had other dreams where they felt so real that didn't involve him, and if that felt the same, right?
Absolutely. 100%.
Oh, scary. Okay.
100%. So like, that? I would have dreams about guys that I've dated who I spiritually connected with, and it just was like, this is the same fucking feeling in my chest, in my body, in my, like, I feel this person's energy. And like, every time I would wake up from a dream about my dad, I would be like crying, and not like a sad crying, just crying because I'm shook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that this is like a real, like, it felt like an out of body experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I started taking dreams more seriously, but I still wasn't over analyzing it. Like, I just was like, okay, like, that was interesting, because I was more focused on the physical feeling versus like dissecting the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, like, there was a point where I would try so hard to read my dreams on a deeper level, but then I was becoming like addicted to it, and like, it was like kind of unhealthy.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, just fucking stop. Like, just stop and just take it for what it is. Like, and if I tell myself that this person was here, and that makes me feel better than telling myself that the person wasn't there, then I'm confirming with my own emotions, my own body, my own everything, that like, this person was there, because the energy is what I feel.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if I tell myself, I like waking up from a dream thinking about my dad and I'm in tears for I don't even know what, whatever reason,
yeah,
sometimes
you just have to leave.
I'm
it,
like,
that's
he
what
was
is.
Fucking there.
Yeah,
like, that was him.
Yeah,
you know. So, and I don't fight it.
No,
I'm just like,
I get
this
that
is,
now.
Yeah.
You just have to accept it to be what it is, even though it baffles your brain in ways that make you feel physically overwhelmed.
There's a lot of shit that baffles my brain now that I've like become more
mystic,
open
right?
to. Yes.
The world is mystic as fuck when you know where to look and how to pay attention.
Yes. Yes.
In inextricable ways, we are all in a spider web together, and there's so many pieces.
We are just stardust. Like, we are just literally pieces of material from the cosmos.
I know, my God. And the fact that this creepy life, the fact that I have a house plant and like we're recording a podcast on my cell phone,
yeah,
like all these things exist,
we're like
at
little
the same
organisms
time. Why
just,
is this here?
What's the most dopest thing though is like how to, like, if we actually think of ourselves, well, we're like organisms, right? We're just like this, we're creatures of some sort, right? How we figured out how to interact with one another. And that was because language existed. And that was because somebody created language and a way to communicate. And this is how our brains have connected in energetic ways that, like, we're able to create things like cell phones, able to create things like podcasts, able to, like, it's mind-blowing.
And
it's
then
fucking
empathy.
Mind-blowing.
I think empathy is the soul part. I think the empathy is, like, the only physical impact that the source can have on like our corporal bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that now.
Mm-hmm.
I like feel it in my soul. But
mm-hmm.
I think the one thing that I now find creepier than anything is when I feel moments of connection that I now know are just grace
mm-hmm.
with complete strangers in scenarios that
only happened because I decided to go left instead of right mm-hmm. on my normal walk to work in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that it impacts my day in such a way that I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Just makes me be like, wow, that like what a wonderful world. Like I get all the hippie vibes and I'm like, yeah. Oh fuck. Oh wow.
Yeah, that's my what purpose. I'm saying.
Like this is my life. And now it feels like it was fleeting before.
Yeah.
And it was when I was having a good swing to where I'd be like, oh damn, that's cool. I felt that. Now yeah. I feel it pretty much every day, multiple times a day, which is for me, I think, hard to say because we live in a city filled with a lot of unhappy people.
Wait, you know what's crazy? Like, it just reminded me of that scene from Life of Pi where he walks onto that island and there's all these like, what's it called? What are those little
lemurs?
Underground rat looking things?
Oh my God, the cute little things?
Yeah.
The tan ones?
Yeah.
Oh,
what are they called?
Prairie dogs? No.
Prairie dogs? Maybe.
No.
All these little like...
And the Lion King? Oh
yes, God. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. So he walks onto this island.
Meerkat.
Yes. He walks onto this little island of like little meerkats and they're all just like touching him and playing with him. And he's just taking it in because he's like, okay, this is just like what it is. You know, this island loves me. And it's like, reminds me of what you just said about how you like walk through like, you know, a different part of town, you're like, wow, this is what it is. It just is what it is. And it's just so beautiful because the island itself was so beautiful in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, everything is just perception.
Legit.
Everything in life is just fucking perception. You can be an angry soul and look at life through that lens, or you can remove yourself from that through pain and through karma and all that, and then your whole entire perception changes, and you're all of a sudden a lighthearted, happier, more loving person, and then
physically
all of a sudden
healthier.
Yes, and then all of a sudden all your interactions going forward become so much more peaceful and
stepping stones,
and they just are lessons, and you look at everything like gifts. You're like, whoa,
100%.
Like
so
I
grateful.
Was meant to get my fucking heart broken by that little chump because he was supposed to be a gift and a lesson that I was meant to learn in this life.
Yes.
And thank you, death, because it is such it's a mind fuck of a lesson, but it is the best lesson that I could have ever, ever, ever gotten in my life.
I can't fathom going back to how I was before.
Mm-mm.
I would fight tooth and nail. Even, like, I would give anything for my dad to be back. And I don't, as a healthy man, not as a sick man.
Oh, absolutely.
If he was coming back the way he was, no. Wherever he is now is glorious. And he talked about it a lot. He would say, like, shadows were coming for him, geological shapes, like spheres, lots of neon lights. Like, basically whatever people say they see on DMT, my dad saw a week before he passed.
There's also a podcast episode on, like, Oprah Super Soul Conversations where she interviews this guy who like sees things and like sees the spiritual world.
It made me think of that instantly.
Yes.
The dude that is alive and healthy and
he's
shapes
like a film,
and figures.
Yeah. He was like a film dude or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad was like pointing into the other room and going, the shadows, they come and they try to take me. And I'm like, you can go with them, daddy. Like, it's time. It's okay to go. And he was like, no, I just look at them because they're just, I just look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, are they beautiful? Like, what is it? He's like, they just feel.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay. And then he's like, the shapes.
Wow.
So many colors.
That's so cool.
And he just kept saying, like, it's beautiful.
Oh.
And I would ask him, like, what are you looking at today? Because, like, a lot of times he was, basically his eyes were closed.
Right.
And he would just be, like, moaning in such pain because
he
had a brain tumor basically the size of a dinner plate that was rearranging his face and his eyeball and cutting off his circulation, his carotid artery, and all this stuff. But somehow, still alive, still there, moaning and writhing in pain for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
On as much morphine as we could possibly give him, and like still writhing in pain, moaning. Like, think about the sickest you've ever felt in your life with like a stomach virus, and you like want to die on the toilet. Mm. He did it every single minute for almost 2 weeks until he took his last breath.
Oh, gosh.
That is karma.
That is fucking karma.
That is suffering and that is karma.
That is like, I'm going to just fight through this because I want to have a better life next time.
Yes.
And I want to be healthier. And like, I remember seeing my dad in one of my dreams and just looking at him and being like, he was wearing like a bright like green shirt of some sort. And he was just like, he didn't say anything, but his body was healthy. And he just looked really healthy. And I was like, Dad, you look good. And he was like, thanks. Like, I'm, you know what he said to me? He says, I'm healthy and I'm happy, so don't worry about me anymore. That was like the third dream that I had of him. And I don't remember if that was the last one or not, but I've had a couple. Like, the second to last dream was definitely like, hey, I'm just checking in. Like, are you okay? And the last dream was like, maybe it was the last dream, I can't remember. That was when he was like, hey, listen, like, I'm healthy now.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like, when you say you envision that, that's exactly what I felt. That's like, they're just working on themselves on the other side.
100%.
They're just like, all right, I fucking paid my karma in the physical world. Now I gotta like work a little harder back here.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna keep bouncing up.
I think he realized that towards the end. I could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, we've always had a really crazy connection. Like, he used to talk to me every single day for hours when I was like still inside of my mom. I came out of the womb like looking around the room for my dad, and it like bugged out the man delivering me because he said he'd never seen a baby look for anything before. And my dad was saying like, come out, baby Kelly, like he was talking to me, but I heard his voice for so long.
Wow.
But I was coming out looking for him. Like, we've always been connected.
That's so beautiful.
But I was thinking about that fact, like, I was in a totally different universe.
Yeah.
And heard his voice and knew who he was and talked to him and communicated with him and was not conscious of any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the roles have just reversed.
It's so crazy that you say that. Like, my whole life is him, right? Like, I think about, like, my sister, my dad had a really tight bond for a really long time until her being, like, the older sister, like, took on a lot of the weight and just basically was like, you know, like, I need to protect my siblings because they're, you know, you're being like a raging alcoholic and you're not mentally healthy, and this is not okay. And she held aggression against him, and then therefore he pushed back from that relationship, I think, and like him and I became so tight. And I think that like he was so him and I were so close, and I remember like, just, I mean, till this day, like every single day, like I think about like the world that I'm in, the career that I'm in, every single moment I think about him. And like, I just remember him always telling family members, like when he would go to their house, he'd be like, can you make this for Bao? Can you make that for Bao? And everybody was like, you were his favorite. Like, you were him, you know? And so when I, like, who I show up as now is always like, the person I show up now is basically like, I just think back to like him and like his level of creativity, and like, I'm like, I get to live and be who he wanted to be.
Exactly.
And I'm like, this is who he wanted to be. He wanted to be in, you know, artistry. Like, he was a singer. He was, you know what I mean? Like, he was a photographer, like all this stuff. And he's just like, I get to pass that on to her so she can do that for me.
And your connection of passion is what will give you like the talent to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I think the beautiful thing that I've noticed from this transition has been that I know my destiny was to be in the exact place and moment that I was.
Mm-hmm.
He taught me everything that he knew.
Mm-hmm.
He leveled up as high as he could, and it gave me like a jump start, like five levels up, and I'm to the place of where like he never got to accomplish. So I can now jump up to wherever, and sadly I'm going to be the end of our like spiritual chain because I'm not having children, but...
You got a child in there. You got a mom in there.
Yeah.
Kitty mom. A little bitch.
But I think that it's definitely a destiny to help your parents pass into the next realm.
Absolutely.
And if you do not fulfill it, I think you will not... I mean, it's a hard thing to say because, I mean, people can't help if they're there or not. But if you're given the blessing of being able to be a part of it, I feel like it does... change your life additionally in ways that are almost tribal, ancestral, like destined, fated, like things that are just like blood.
Oh my God, absolutely.
And bones. Like, there's no, I can't change the fact that someone thousands upon thousands of years ago gave me this blood and this bones. Like,
like, it's just, you are in this body for whatever reason, and you have this like cut out lifestyle for you, and like this world that you really can't control, and you're just meant to be it, and you're supposed to, and you're meant to like follow that path, and like that, the experiencing death so close in my life. And it was funny because like when my grandma passed away like a year prior, I was crying so much. And I think that's truly when my emotional journey started. Mm-hmm. I was so fearful of, like, what am I going to do without my mom and dad? What am I going to do without my mom and dad? And, like, then less than a year later, my dad passed away, right? Mm-hmm. And it just opens your eyes up to so, 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 so much. Like, you don't realize that, like, you just don't realize what's out there. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful. It's like, it's... you feel more connected, honestly, mm-hmm. to, like, what's around you and mm-hmm. the interactions that you make, like, people that you meet, interactions that you have, like, it's just wild. Mm-hmm. It's wild. It's a wild, wild journey. And it's crazy, like, I still think about him as, like, my mentor. Mm-hmm. Like, I look at this person like, yo, you didn't actually teach me with your hands, like, how to draw and whatever, but, like, you passed that on to me. Mm-hmm. And I get to make you proud. And, like, I sometimes wonder, like, what would he think of me right now? Mm-hmm. You know, like, what would he, if he was here and he saw, like, me in this position of being a makeup artist and, you know, spirituality even, or, like, the men that I'm bringing around, like, what would he think, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't know. I know he'd be proud of me.
Yeah.
But...
yeah.
I'm just curious, like, I'm like, I wonder what his, because he was 50.
Like, how would he interact with your life?
Right, at the age of 59.
Yeah.
My dad was 50 when he passed.
Yeah.
So.
That's another thing, too. Like, they'll forever be the age they were in your life.
They don't age in the memory.
No, and, like, God willing, I'll, like, live to be, you know, I think he died at 60, but he would have been 65.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's a weird thing. Time is not linear.
No.
In any way, shape, or form.
No.
I feel, like you said with the hug, like, I vividly am, and him being your mentor, I feel that because I'm recalling lessons from memories that I didn't even remember happened for the first time. Like, they may have been repressed, or, like, now they're coming out because I need them now.
Yeah.
But, like, they're legit with you forever. And whatever's locked in your brain is there for you to retrieve for forever.
And it's, like, the last couple of years worth of memories, especially. It's, like, because, I mean, yeah, those are the memories that you, like, have closest, like, timeline-wise, but, like, I still know what it feels like when he walks into my room. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, the sound that my mm-hmm. floor makes, the like, him walking in and out of the house, like, him, like, what he looked like, what he would, his scent, his everything, like, every move, his voice, like, everything you can imagine, like, it's still in your thought and in your body and your mind, like, the way he would snore, like, just mm-hmm. everything. And unfortunately, I don't think we have any videos of him in the house. Like, it was back in the day, like, VCR days, or mm-hmm. Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
VCR. Like, is it VRC? VCR. Yeah. And I was just like, we don't have, like, videos of him. Like, my other family members probably do, but I don't have, like, a physical form of his voice, you know? It's just all in here, mm-hmm. in the noggin, and, like, I just, it's crazy, like, that it's this directory of sounds and touch and, like, all your senses with this person that you get to keep forever. It's like mm-hmm. your own little library mm-hmm. of just him. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
We have to get our tattoos.
We have to get our tattoos.
We should just plan a day.
Next week, let's go.
Okay. It works for me.
Let's do it.
Thank you, love. Thank you for sharing.
This was amazing. I feel like this is the first time I've ever done this, like, in this form.
I needed it badly.
I think it's just, like, I love talking about death. Like, I know it's, like, so weird.
I'll talk about it forever.
It's always forever.
It is life. Death is life.
Death is freedom. Yeah. It's so beautiful at the same time. It's like, yo, like, you really, like, you appreciate things like my... the way I appreciate my plants is, like, next level. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, I love you. I talk to my plants. I talk to my dog. I get mm-hmm. my dog Reiki. Mm-hmm. I just, it's so, so beautiful. So I love Reiki too.
Yeah. I want to try it. And I think it's definitely something I'm going to want to.
I'll give you a Reiki session.
It feels like, I think also too, you're open now. You've basically been, like, cracked.
Yeah.
In a way to where, like, the source can come out of you or at least work through you. Because I feel that way. And I know that there's a way that you can harness it.
and strengthen it so that it can be used for good. I believe that in my soul.
I 100%. Absolutely believe it.
That has to be Reiki and like other forms of like spiritual yoga connection. Like mm-hmm. I believe that things where you can get into a flow state I think are when you're tapping into the source.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think there's so many answers that come from that space, and a lot of people don't realize that it's like an unlimited free resource. It's just like it's there. Yeah. It's like, hey, just hit up your angels. You know what I mean? Like hit up
You're so right. It is an unlimited free source. That's crazy.
But you can still get through life broke as a creative entrepreneur.
Yeah. Legit.
And you just look up and you're like, yo, angels, help me out. Give me some signs. You know what's crazy though? I saw my ex the other day and like he just looked really unhealthy and like he just looked very like toxic and like getting worse as he gets older, and like he was getting a little aggressive and he was like, hey, like why are you leaving? Like what, you know, like what happened kind of thing. And I was like, I gotta go. And I left and I was like, oh my God, I'm so thankful that I got out of that situation. Cause I remember looking up and being like, oh my God, please help, please help, please help. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know if we're about to get into a fight. Like, I don't know if this is going to work. And I ran to my car and I was driving home and I saw 1111 on an awning. And I was like, yes, motherfuckers, y'all came through. It was like, wow, just validating.
Like, we were there.
Yes.
You weren't alone.
When he was walking away, I looked up, I like crossed my hands and I was like, please get me out of the situation. Please get me out of the situation. Fuck. I just ran to my car.
I would have too.
But yeah.
Right. Well, thank you. Oh, I'll stop now.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.